Hi, good morning. I'm so glad that you chose to be with us today. It means so much to me that you're watching, wherever you're watching from, however you found us. It is a privilege to open up the scriptures and to really look into what God's heart is for us. And we believe that's going to happen over the next few moments. I'm Marcus Meekum, and there's so many things that we want to get into your hands. One of those things is we have a brand new free resource. It's a DVD. There's three different messages on this DVD. And the key message, the flagship message, would be these last days. And it is one of the most encouraging messages I've ever been given concerning the end time church. It will lift you. It will encourage you. It will help you see we were born for this time. God ordained us to be on the earth in this time. And I know that message will bless you. At any time during this broadcast, call the number on the screen. It's completely free. Just let us know what we can do to get that in your hands. And also, don't forget, as soon as our time's over, if you've never experienced Seven Hills Church Live, you can come and hang out with Seven Hills Church Live and online, chat with us, worship with us, get to know us a little bit more. It would be an honor to have you with us today. Hey, let's get right to the message, and I'll see you in a little bit.
There are people in this room tonight, you do not have a relationship with God. You do not know Jesus Christ. Right now, today, if Jesus were to come back, you would not be ready. That's the golden rule of anything to deal with end times is people will not be ready. They won't be ready because they're thinking, I got plenty of time. I got plenty of time. But the good news is this, that he hasn't come back. But there are people in this room tonight, if he would have come back last night, you would have missed your moment. So because of his patience, he's holding back his return so that you and I will have a chance to get right, repent, and have a relationship with him.
Food is scarce. We don't really know when or what our next meal will be. It's hard to believe that the safest shelter we've found in months is an abandoned hospital. It's strange to think there was a time that we once threw away things that people literally kill each other over now. That's what has been revealed in this new reality. How ungrateful we were for the life we had. It's hard to be grateful in a time like this. Especially when I know I could get the supplies we need in an instant. I could get the medicine and the food that we need to survive. We could be safe. We could be warm. No more running. No more scavenging. All it will take is a mark. One on the head. One on the hand. I remember when we would meet other survivors and talk about what was happening in the world. At first it was easy to be righteous. It was easy to say things like, I'd never let them put a mark on my body to buy groceries, to buy gas. But over time it got harder. We started to hear the same friends who would never get a mark had surrendered to it. They were living in a warm home. They weren't running. They weren't looking for food. At times I struggled. I could fix all of our problems with a simple mark. Take the mark, get food. Take the mark, have medicine. Take the mark, survive.
First Peter chapter 4, verse 7 through 10 says, the end of all things is now. Therefore, be alert and of a sober mind or a clear mind so that you may pray. And now I love how it says verse 8, above all, think about that, above all else, above everything else, what are you and I are supposed to do? It says, love each other deeply. And how do we do that? It says that love covers a multitude of sin. I want to take just a minute here, and don't worry, I didn't take the mark. Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. So there's three things that this verse brings up that we need to clarify. Most importantly, it says, starts off by saying you have to be clear-minded. You have to be sober-minded. How do we do that? Well, first of all, we have to realize that the day that we've lived in this day is the day you and I were predestined to live in. There's a purpose for this day. I can't be clear-minded if I look into past days. Oh, God did so many things in the past. Wouldn't it be amazing to be alive when the book of Acts took place? Wouldn't that be amazing to be where when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the upper room? Wouldn't that be amazing when Peter would walk down the road and his shadow would hit people and heal them? Wouldn't that be amazing those days? Wouldn't it be amazing to maybe be a part of what God's going to do in the future? And when we obsess over the past or we romanticize the future, we cease to be clear-minded. The Bible says that we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. We're surrounded by Elijah. We're surrounded by Paul the Apostle. We're surrounded by Simon Peter. We're surrounded by the greats like Abraham. And the Bible says that's a cloud of witnesses. And what are they doing? They're cheering us on in our race. You know what they're saying? All those greats that we talk about, all the heroes of our faith that we talk about, look down on our day with absolute jealousy, saying to themselves, I wish I would have had a chance to be there in those days. This day, be clear about it. This is a day pregnant with purpose. I appreciate what God's done in the past. I appreciate what God's going to do in the future, but we have to take this moment and we have to seize it. And we have to say, okay, God, you've put me in this hour. I want everything I can get from it. Be clear-minded. Be clear-minded. Then secondly, it goes on to talk about that number two, we should do our best to notice above all else, we love one another. And then it teaches us how we love one another. Love covers a multitude of sin. So love does not expose sin. Love does not defend sin. Love finds a way to say that sin, the Bible calls it sin. It is not love to act like something is not sin when the Bible calls it sin. It is not love to walk around and be nitpicking and judgmental over everybody's sin. Neither of those is how love is defined. Love calls sin, sin, and then it covers it. In other words, it lets the person know none of us are defined by a mistake. None of us are defined by a sin. None of us are defined by our past. None of us are defined by something we've done. Our life, who we are as people, is bigger than mistakes that we've made or things that we've done wrong. And so God says the way we love one another is we cover one another's sin. We just simply look at one another and say, I understand you missed it, but now let's get back up. Let's keep moving forward. Think about the best example of this is when the apostle Simon Peter, Jesus has just told him that he's going to make a mistake, that he's going to fail. This is right on the heels of Jesus saying that he would build his church, that Simon Peter would be the primary leader of the New Testament church. So he talks to Peter about his destiny, talks to him about building the church, and then he says, oh yeah, by the way, you're going to make some mistakes. Simon Peter goes out and he denies Christ three times. The Bible says with a curse. So now we have one of the apostles is a cussing apostle. He ends up going back to his old life, the life that he was living before Christ. He's out fishing. Jesus is raised from the dead, goes to a nearby beach. He's cooking some fish over a fire, and he's talking to those who are just right off the shore fishing. He's talking to them, and it hits Peter, that's Jesus. He jumps in the water. He swims as fast as he can to the beach. He's dripping wet. Really what he's dripping with, he's dripping with the fact that he's failed. It's all over him. Can't get away from him. And every single ounce of who he is dripping with the fact that he failed. He denied Christ, and he didn't just deny it, he denied him with a curse. I'm imagining if I was Peter, I'd be stepping up, expecting Jesus to ask the question, how did you not only deny me, but you denied me with a curse? If I was Simon Peter, I would be expecting to be backhanded by Christ, right? And then, you know, look at the other disciples. Hey, somebody, pick him up, pick him up, pick him up. Let's do it again. That's how we think of God most of the time. When we make mistakes, we think God is wanting to punish us. He's angry with us. He's disappointed in us. But the only question Jesus asked Simon Peter is, do you love me? Yeah, of course, of course, of course. No, do you love me? Do you love me? What was happening? Jesus knew if Peter would just get a revelation of his love, that love covers sin. That Jesus was not holding what Peter did against him. He was calling it sin. It was clear that he made a mistake. It was clear that he had failed. Jesus was not avoiding that. But yet, he was showing the apostle Simon Peter that moment of denial should never define him for the rest of his life. There's forgiveness and there's mercy in those types of things. And he encouraged him, go on, build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against you. And then finally, number three, it goes on to say this, that each of you should take whatever gift you've been given and you should use it to serve one another. That's what we should do. We should use the gifts, the talents, the time that we've been given. We should use it to make a difference in the world around us. You and I are here. This is the greatest generation that's ever lived in history. This is the end time church. Right now, 7 billion people are alive on the planet. And did you know more people have come to Christ in the last 5 years than the previous 2017 years before this moment? These are real stats. Islam began in 708 AD. And in its first 1,300 years of existence, there was zero movement from anyone in Islam towards Christ. But every single year for the last 20 years, in all 9 branches of Islam, over 1 million Muslims have given their Christ for the last 20 years. Every single year, over 20 million Muslims have come to know the love and the grace and the mercy that can only come one way, and that's through a relationship with God's only Son. In China, every single day, 35,000 people give their lives to Christ. Under that communist regime where you are arrested, you're killed, you're taken to hospitals where they'll cut you open and sell your body parts. This is, you can go to the religions around the world and the persecution of religions around the world. And this is Washington, D.C. facts, that they'll take your organs. You either deny Christ, or we're going to take you and cut you up and give your eyeballs, send your eyeballs to Ireland and send this to Japan and send that to some other place. 35,000. 1.3 billion people in China, and 10% worship every single day in the underground church in China. 130 million people in China today are coming to know Christ. It's a beautiful thing. So God's pouring out his Spirit. God is moving like never before. And yes, darkness is on the rise. Yes, darkness is increasing. Yes, sin is increasing. But the Bible says where sin abounds, grace much more abounds, which me and you are here with the opportunity to be a part of all that God's doing in the earth. We're here. We've been given gifts. We've been given talents. We've been graced by God in our own unique way. And we're to take all of that and we're to use it to serve God's people. I know it's the last days. I know we're talking about Jesus is coming back, and our job is to say, what can I do? How can I serve? How can I pray? How can I give? What can I do to make a difference in the world around us? Why? So we can be ready for his soon return. I want us to continue to check out Elijah's story as it wraps up. Let's check it out.
Could fix all of our problems with a simple mark. but Sarah wouldn't let me. I didn't understand why she wanted to continue living this way. And then she got sick. At first it just slowed her down. We thought she had a cold. Then it slowed her down a little more. Maybe all she needed was some time and rest. Until finally, she couldn't travel at all and the reality set in. This wasn't going away. We didn't have the answers, and there was only one way to get them. We would search any and every place we thought we might find medicine or supplies. Sometimes we would get lucky and find something to manage the pain. But all of it was just a band-aid. We were the unmarked, and we were running out of time. Take the mark, get food. Take the mark, have medicine. Take the mark, survive. But she wouldn't have it. And even though it hurts, I made a promise.
Even when I have
I have been a man with no firm belief to stand upon, no solid rock to build my life. I'm not sure who I'm writing this to. Maybe it's just for me. But it's been nearly 7 years since that day. 7 years in a lost and hopeless world. But even in times that seem hopeless, hope can be found. Had I known what I know now, maybe I would have been able to save my wife and myself from what this world has become. Had I known what I know now, I would be with Emily. We would all be together. I may be a little late to this realization. I wish I could go back and change some things. I wish I would have taken certain things more seriously. But one thing's for certain. This time I'll be ready. I won't miss him when he comes again. I'll be waiting. I'll be ready. I've been broken. I've been beaten. I've seen the unforgettable and the unimaginable. But I won't let it shake me. I won't give up. And even if the road ahead is perilous, I'll put my trust in you. If there's darkness on the horizon, I'll put my trust in you. I will no longer be held up by my own strength this time. I've put my faith in Jesus. In this hopeless world, I have found a solid rock. I have found a firm foundation.
You know, the idea, again, of the golden rule behind the second coming of Christ is simple, and that is many will not be ready. So if Jesus were to come back, the eastern sky were to split, he were to come and take us, are you ready? Are you sure you're ready? Do you know you're ready? Are you persuaded? Paul said, I'm fully persuaded that he's able to keep that which he's committed to me against that day. Are you persuaded? Do you know that you know that you know? Are you sure? Is your life built on the rock or is it built on the sand? How do we know we're built on the rock? We hear his word and we do his word. But the Bible says we deceive ourselves if we just listen to it and we don't act on it. So there are steps you take when you hear the word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So you may not have faith, and then you hear the word of God, and all of a sudden you start feeling faith come. And you're like, man, I've never sensed that before. Never sensed that. Because Paul called it the foolishness of preaching the gospel. It's foolishness. But something that happens when we speak God's word hits our ears, but more importantly, causes that measure of faith to come alive in your spirit and your heart.
Hey, we're so glad that you chose to spend time with us, listening to what God would have to say to each and every one of you. We love the fact that you can take an old topic like end times and God can breathe in a fresh way on it. And we're trusting that that happened today. In some way, God spoke incredibly clear with each and every one of you. We would love for you to consider taking a step with us. What does that look like? Well, there's a number on the screen there for one reason, and that is we want to do everything we can to be a blessing to you. If you're going through anything and you need prayer, you're going through a trial, a struggle. You've been through a failure, a mistake. Maybe you're in a traumatic time. Maybe you're in a great time, but things feel empty and lonely. Maybe you're far from God and you're like, what do I do? Call the number on the screen. It's there so we can pray with you, believe God with you. We would love to hear from you. And if you'd pray about that, consider doing that. We know it'll be a blessing to you. Also, we have a brand new free resource for anyone that desires it. If you've enjoyed today's message, this is called These Last Days. It's a DVD that's got 3 messages on it. It's completely free, and we would love to put that in your hand. Call the number on the screen, and they'll get that to you as well. And then don't forget, as soon as we end our time together, you can come hang out with us live and online. And so they'll give you the instructions on the screen on how you can do that. You can come and chat with us, worship with us, hear a fresh message today, and it would mean so much if you would do that. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that we were born for such a time as this. Somebody today needs to be encouraged and inspired. Lift us today to do your will in the earth in these times. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next week.